Well, after a three-month break from our study of the Gospel of John, today I take you back to this outstanding book. My appreciation for the Gospel of John has only increased with each passing week that I have lived in it. Within its pages, we are introduced to our Lord Jesus Christ as the Word of God, present among us in human flesh. He is proclaimed by John the Baptist as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus himself claimed to have come from the Father with all his authority to do whatever the Father told him to do. He is the means of salvation. He is the living water that satisfies our thirsty souls. He is the bread of life, providing eternal nourishment for our spiritual lives. He is the light of the world who leads those in darkness out of slavery and into freedom. And now in chapter 10, Jesus declares himself to be the door for the sheep. The larger context for chapter 10 is a selection of Jewish festivals that provides an opportunity for Jesus' antagonists to argue and debate with him and even make plans to kill him. At each feast, where there should have been much celebration for God's gracious provision, the religious leaders could only find reason to be threatened by Jesus, and thus these festivals were clouded with conflict. Following the lead of commentator Gerald Borchert, we are calling John chapters 5 through 11 the festival cycle, because those chapters organize quite naturally around the feasts that are mentioned within them. The feasts provide an important and instructive backdrop for the teaching ministry of Jesus in each of the five subsections of the festival cycle. The festival cycle, as outlined by Gerald Borchert, goes from chapter 5 through chapter 11. The backdrop for chapter 5 was the Feast of Sabbath, chapter 6, the Feast of Passover. Feast of Tabernacles provides the backdrop for chapters 7, 8, and 9. Chapter 10 will bring attention to the Feast of Dedication, or Hanukkah. And chapter 11 will be a return to the Feast of Passover, thus the festival cycle. Now, I've planned to spend the next three Sundays in John chapter 10, so if I don't finish today, at least we've got a couple to recover. And I hope you will join me in getting well acquainted with John 10. And we've already read together as a congregation Psalm 23, which provides a significant and positive background to understanding Jesus as the shepherd of his sheep. Ezekiel 34 also provides a significant background, but in a negative way, so that we would understand the character of false and deceptive shepherds. Now, why is Ezekiel 34 so important to our understanding of John 10? Well, if you notice the way Jesus opens his teaching about being the shepherd of his sheep, you will see he sets himself in stark contrast to the opposite of a good shepherd. This is precisely what the prophet Ezekiel records in chapter 34. Now, it may seem like a lengthy passage, but please follow with me as I read the first 16 verses of Ezekiel 34. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they are scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every hill, high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and on all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Now, after hearing the prophet Ezekiel speak the word of the Lord, do you think the sovereign Lord has some feelings about shepherds who don't take care of their sheep? In John chapter 9, when Jesus healed a blind man, the leaders of the synagogue, the official shepherds of Israel, refused to acknowledge that the miracle Jesus performed was from God. Here's a piece of the interrogation they put the blind man through. John 9:24. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner, speaking of Jesus. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, again speaking of Jesus, we don't even know where he comes from. And then, verse 34, they give their one last parting jab. They replied, speaking to the blind man, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out of the synagogue. So the story that immediately precedes Jesus' teaching about genuine shepherds illustrates what the prophet Ezekiel warned against. And then Jesus seems to combine Ezekiel 34 and Psalm 23 to give us his teaching in John 10. Notice the sharp contrast that Jesus makes between a genuine shepherd and thieves and robbers. Verse 1. Chant John 10, I tell you the truth, amen, amen, truly, truly. NIV just takes truly, truly and amen, amen as I tell you the truth. But it's a... Listen, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved or safe. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now this morning I want us to focus our attention on two facets of the contrast that Jesus sets up here. Contrast between genuine shepherd and thieves and robbers. Thus these verses and the contrast within them help us identify a genuine shepherd worthy to follow. The two facets I believe our text highlights are how sheep are treated and how true or genuine sheep respond. How sheep are treated reveal much about the character of the shepherd, or the lack thereof in a false shepherd. How sheep respond to the genuine shepherd reveals much about the actual identity of the sheep, or the kind of relationship that the sheep have with their shepherd. Now here is where I believe this text is leading us. Jesus is actually giving us a warning in this text, in this story. He is giving a stern warning to all of us as he presents himself as the door or gate for his sheep. Because it is Jesus who is giving us this warning, we must take this warning seriously. If you are one of Jesus' genuine sheep, you are not left alone in a dangerous world. You have a shepherd who will lead you into the protection of his sheepfold and into the bounty of his green pastures. Further, as his genuine sheep, you will not follow a stranger. Rather, you will run from the stranger because you do not recognize his voice. And herein lies the warning. If you understand yourself to be a genuine sheep of Shepherd Jesus, but are listening to the voice of strangers, you must take a serious look at your relationship with Jesus. Is he really your shepherd? Our text states clearly, genuine sheep of Jesus do not follow a stranger. Rather, they follow Jesus as sheep follow a shepherd, because they recognize his voice in the midst of all other voices. Now, let's see if this text supports such a conclusion. Jesus clearly makes his audience aware that there are those around who will steal from you and harm you if given an opportunity. That kind of happened the day we left Ecuador. The police went on strike because they had their benefit package reduced, and they didn't like it, and they assaulted the president. The president wanted to call it a coup. I don't think it was. It was the police being treated poorly. And so the police of the whole nation went on strike at 10 o'clock. Our plane left at 10:25. We were the last plane out before everything shut down in Guayaquil and Quito and most of the country. As a result, without the police around, there was much looting and thievery and robbery and all that kind of stuff. It became quite dangerous. When you travel in Ecuador, just about every place of business is not only barred up, but has guards with guns stationed. I mean, you see the guns, especially at banks. They've got their machine gun ready to go if you want to take something. But they all just disappeared. So there are those who are ready to take what you have. There are those who will even try to appear as genuine shepherds while exploiting those who have not trained their ears to hear their true and genuine shepherd. So he says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now let's take note of how sheep are treated by these two contrasting people, a genuine shepherd and thieves and robbers. From what we know about thieves and robbers, I think we can correctly state that thieves and robbers want to own sheep for entirely different reasons than a genuine shepherd. Thieves and robbers want to short-circuit the process of ownership. Rather than doing the hard work of caring for the sheep, they want to take advantage of the labors of the genuine shepherd and use their plunder for selfish purposes. But a genuine shepherd knows his sheep by name and calls them by their names. A genuine shepherd leads his sheep out of the sheep pen, probably in contrast to false shepherds who would drive his sheep out to the pasture, if he'd even drive them to the pasture. Verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. A genuine shepherd is aware of all his sheep. A genuine shepherd develops intimate relationships with his sheep by the way he speaks to his sheep. Now, does the shepherd that you follow know your name? Does he lead you into a secure resting place? And does he lead you out into pastures that nourish you? Is your shepherd aware of all his sheep? And does he develop intimate relationships with his sheep by the way he speaks with them? If these things do not characterize your shepherd, you have reason to question if your shepherd is a genuine shepherd. Now, we have already seen indicators in these verses of how true sheep respond. Genuine sheep listen to the voice of the genuine shepherd. Now, very likely, sheep pens in Jesus' day were community pens. That is, because sheep herders would travel around with their sheep looking for green pastures, a community would have a large sheep pen where a traveling shepherd could board his sheep for the night. In that pen, on any given night, there could be multiple flocks of sheep within that pen. Those pens would most often be made with stone walls with an opening. The gatekeeper would determine if a shepherd could board his sheep in the pen. But in many cases, it was the shepherd who would sleep in the doorway during the night to protect the entrance from wolves looking for a nice, tasty meal. In the morning, when the shepherd was ready to lead his sheep out to a pasture, he would use his voice in a unique manner, and his sheep, and his alone, would follow him out of the pen. Sir G.A. Smith, in the book called Historical Geography of Palestine, gives this good illustration. Sometimes we enjoyed our noonday rest beside one of the Judean wells, in which three or four shepherds come down with their flocks. The flocks mixed with each other, and we wondered how each shepherd would get his own again. But after the watering and the playing were over, the shepherds, one by one, went up different sides of the valley, and each called out his peculiar call, and the sheep of each drew out of the crowd to their own shepherd, and the flocks passed away as orderly as they came. Genuine sheep listen to the voice of the genuine shepherd. Genuine sheep follow the genuine shepherd. Genuine sheep will never follow a stranger. They will run away from him. And genuine sheep don't recognize a stranger's voice. This is how genuine sheep respond to their genuine shepherd. They listen, they follow, they don't follow strangers, and they don't even recognize the voice of strangers. Now, Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Truly, truly, amen, amen, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep." I don't know if you notice, he didn't say, "I'm the gate to the sheepfold." He says, "I'm the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved," or safe. "He will come in and go out and find pasture." He will come in through me and go out through me, he says. "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Now, the combination of the way the sheep are treated and how sheep respond defines the kind of relationship they have with the shepherd. A genuine shepherd protects his sheep. He guards the entry so the sheep can rest well within the protection of the sheep pen. A genuine shepherd provides for his sheep. He leads them out into pastures that nourish them. And even out on the pasture land, the genuine shepherd provides protection. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He protects from the thieves and robbers or the wolves. Wherever the genuine sheep go, be it into the sheep pen for rest or out into the pasture lands for food, the sheep go to those places through Jesus, their shepherd. Jesus is the door through which the sheep go out and come in. From this contrast that Jesus sets up, he highlights his grand purpose for his sheep. He does not purpose to steal from his sheep or kill them or destroy them. Rather, his purpose is that his sheep would have an abundant life, to be overflowing with life. Jesus wants us to know for certain that there is an enemy out there who wants us dead. And our great vulnerability to that enemy, according to our text, exists in our ears. Do we understand the consequences of not being able to hear the shepherd's voice? Do we know what it will cost us if we don't follow the shepherd? Now, there are false voices all around us calling us to follow them. If we follow them, it will be like welcoming a thief and robber into our lives. We will experience some level of destruction when we listen to the voice of strangers instead of listening to our shepherd's voice. So we must ask the question, have we tuned our ears to hear the voice of our shepherd? Have we sat at the feet of our Lord and Savior enough that even in the midst of multiple voices calling out to us, we still hear our Lord's voice and follow Him? I want to suggest a few ways that we can tune our ears to hear the voice of Jesus. First, deal with known sin in your life. In other words, confess your sins. Nothing distorts the voice of our shepherd more than unconfessed sin. Sin separates us from Jesus. It puts distance between us, and it's harder to hear His voice. Confess your sins. Keep the channels open to hear the voice of our Savior. Second, make daily, even hour by hour, choice to obey the Lord. Develop a mindset that obedience to Jesus, our shepherd, is the most important action we can take at any time, all the time, every time. See yourself as one who obeys the Lord. Present yourself daily before Him to say, "Here I am, Lord, ready for my assignment. I'm here. I'm yours." Third, develop a strategy to daily and consistently read and listen to God's Word. Become very familiar with God's instructions. If we have a set pattern for ourselves to obey the clear instructions of our Lord, we will be in a good position to discern our Lord's voice even when the instructions don't seem so clear or black and white. But we can be certain of this, that without consistent input from God's Word, our ears will not be in tune. They'll be out of tune to hear our shepherd speak to us. And the warning in this text is to say that disobeying the clear instructions in the Bible is equivalent to listening to the strangers, to the thieves and robbers who come around for the purpose of stealing, killing, and destroying. We must never put aside listening to Jesus so that we can listen to something else. We must always be listening to Jesus' voice. If there's a voice that's in conflict with Jesus, guess which one's out of order? We need to be listening to Jesus' voice. Genuine sheep hear the voice of the genuine shepherd, and then they follow or obey the shepherd. That must be our life's objective. If it's not, we need to examine our relationship with Jesus. Is He really our shepherd? This really is a matter of life and death. For our genuine shepherd said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I, your shepherd, have come that you may have life and have it to the full." Oh, may we all be genuine sheep following our genuine shepherd and know the fullness of life that can be ours. Not just personally, but as a body together. Do you want that life? Do you want to live in that life? Let's listen to that voice of the genuine shepherd. Amen.